Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Appreciate Dave and Jamie having enough confidence in me. I'm not going to lead you down the wrong road, but I feel in my heart, I just didn't want to come and say something. You understand what I'm saying? I could come and I could have preached a message and, you know, everybody felt good and go home, but I got to preach what I feel the Lord lays on my heart. I want to come over here and tell you something, but I feel the Lord wants me to tell you. And if, you know, if it's not, I just might as well quit. But when, you know, it's been a while since Dave had called, asked me to come, and I said, sure. But about a week ago, the Lord impressed on my heart what I need to preach. Here's my, can I give you my resume? I'm just a country boy, period. That's it. But I've been saved by the grace of God. You know, I never heard that song, but it said, mercy will find you wherever you're at. That's true. And I tell you, we all need mercy and grace. And, you know, we've all made, every last one of us has made mistakes, come short of the glory of God. If we really get what we deserve, none of us in very good shape. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. I tell you, the only way we're going to make it is if we are on His righteousness. That's it. And I can't comprehend, and I don't think you can either. Now, Isaiah, I preach it a little bit, but Isaiah had prophesied 700 years before the massacre took place that his visage was so marred, he was literally beaten beyond recognition. Now, we see Jesus, we see pictures of him on the cross with a little bit of blood down the forehead and out the hands, out the feet, but that's not what happened. When the soldiers was professionals and they could literally beat people just within inches of death. And they had that cat of nine tails, and you know what that was. That was a whip that had bone fragments and metal fragments tied to the end of it. And they just buried it deep into somebody's flesh, and they literally ripped the flesh right off of Christ. Now when Pilate said, behold the man, look at him, you could not tell who he was. He became, and here's what I don't, man, he became sin. Get out of here. That's what the book says. He became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. We all thought, you know, we've all said, I'm just going to do it my way. At 18 years of age, I thought I know it all. Now, just about 58, I realize I don't know nothing. But I do know that my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That I was sitting on the back seat of an old country church and the Spirit of God knocked on my heart. And Rod, I knowed I was lost. I had not done drugs. I never have drank whiskey in my life. I tried beer. I'm going to say this. I just might as well take a glass of a horse pee and drink it. That stuff's nasty. But I was lost and on my way to hell without God. But listen, I was sitting on the back seat of that country church and God spoke to my heart and conviction set in and I knowed I was lost. And the best way I know how, I went to an altar and I cried out to God, God, I need you in my heart. And He reached down and for what Jesus done, He picked me up out of the miry clay, washed me in the blood of Jesus and made me a child of God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You don't help me a little bit better than that, I'm going to preach till supper. And supper is the evening meal. But Lord, I've impressed on my heart. And if I will, Lord normally gives me about three words on what's to preach. I don't know why, but I think He thinks, well, three's about all you can handle. But it's time to decide. And I got to thinking, you know, a long time ago when I was in school. Now, back in the day, there was Palestine Grade School, Morristown, Newark. There was a bunch of little country schools around here. Now, I'm not so old that I went to a one-room schoolhouse, but if I can say that, some of you probably know what I'm talking about. Now, I went where first and second was in the same room, and third and fourth and fifth and sixth. But here's what happened back, you know, we'd go out at noon or recess and we'd play a game of softball or a game of kickball, and they'd choose two captains. I didn't like to be the captain, but it didn't take me very long. Now, they're not going to pick me first. I realize that. I wasn't the athletic type. But they was begin to choose sides, them two captains. And as I would watch him picking the athletes, I soon realized what side I wanted to be on. And I could tell, you know, and when it was the other team of picking, I'd try to hide behind somebody way littler than I was. And then when they picked, then I'd step out there and, you know, put myself out on the chopping block. Get me! Oh, they didn't get me, so I hide again. Sometimes I ended up getting on the team I wanted to be on. And sometimes I ended up on the team I didn't want to be on. But that was just a game. This is more than a game. Can I tell you, but there's still just two captains. Now, and can I tell you this? The Lord knows. He knows where you're. He knows what pew you're sitting in this morning. The Bible says that Jesus knows how many hairs we got on our head. Now, you stop and think about that. Some of you, I could probably help him. I could probably tell him, I'm pretty close. Now, some of you got more hair than what I can number. But the Lord knows. And he done chose you to be on his team. But bottom line is this, who are you going to choose? Eternity. We are getting so close. Now the Bible said, and here's what the Word said, that Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. Uh-oh. That's in the book. Check me up. I think you'd have to find it. It's in Mark 13, I think. But God the Father does. And as we see things unfolding, we realize that it's getting close. And people's wanting, they don't want to go to hell, but they don't want to live for Jesus. Now, it's either one or the other. Now, you're either going to choose the Lord, or if you don't, you're choosing the devil as your captain. Now, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of ourselves. And it's not the things that we have done that's going to purchase our ticket into heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that alone. That's the only thing. The Bible says this. I hear that. The Bible says this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have all made mistakes. We have all done things that's went against the will of God. But like I said, no matter where you're at today, mercy can find you. One verse of scripture in Joel, the third chapter, is where I'm going to preach. In verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And I tell you, we have come this day, I don't know, June the 27th, 2021, we have come to a crossroads in our life. Each one of us is going to stand, and you're going to make a decision in just a little bit of whose side you want to choose to be on. Can I tell you, you will not spend eternity, 1 second in eternity, lost without God, that you would pray that you could be back at this day one more time. Well, preacher, if God is such a loving God, he's not going to send anybody to hell. You're absolutely right. We will go because we chose the devil as our captain. Multitudes, multitudes at the valley of decision. Can I tell you, my granddad at 71, now he was ornery. 71 years, he had a lot of orneriness built up on the inside of him, and he lived the temperatures and the cold weather from up here, sent him to Florida, to where he lived, Brooksville, Florida. And maybe I've shared it, but the Lord began to deal with my granddad. Now, you keep in mind, he's ornery, been ornery all his life, and he came up every fall to deer hunt. He'd go back to Florida. But this particular year, he came up in August. Now, I know deer season's not in August, but I'm going to tell you, when the Lord's dealing with you and he's bringing conviction, listen, and you can't stay where you're at any longer, you're going to West Virginia. You're going to get saved. And that's exactly, listen, at 71 years of age, me and Granddad was driving by the church, and I simply said, I'm preaching there tomorrow night. You ought to come. And you could have knocked me over with a feather when I went to pull in the next day, and there sat Granddad's truck. But God was doing something. And that night, listen, I'd done my best to preach the word of the Lord. And Granddad, at 71 years, decided I'm going to follow Christ. He went to that altar. I went up there. I wasn't interrupting nothing. He began to cry out. I just let him pray. Listen to me, you don't got to be fancy. These and thous. Lord can hear this. Help me. Peter began to sing. He didn't say, oh God, our heavenly Father. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus was there. I tell you, some of you feel like you're sinking, like you're going down. Maybe your bobbers went under and you no way coming back up. But if you cry out to God and just call upon him, he knows where you're at. He can reach down and pick you up, wash you in the blood of Christ, and make a brand new creature out of you. Supper's coming. I let him pray. After a bit, he just kind of sat back on his haunches and began to laugh. And I know Granddad made peace with God. I don't know how long it was, but Mom was talking to him on the phone. That was Mama's dad. And she could tell something wasn't right. She said, Dad, you okay? And he went, no. She said, hang up the phone. Mom called the neighbor, said, would you go check on him? Long story short, Granddad had just a day or two, and he went on to be with the Lord. But he decided, when he finally said, I can't do it, and we've got to come to a place in our life when we realize we cannot do this by ourselves, and we need to cry out to God. Listen, he said, I'm somebody. I'll stick closer than a brother. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Time to decide. Over. Lord, you help me this morning. You know what's on my heart. I ask you to speak to every heart that's in the house. God, I pray that you just might minister. God, just as the song said, mercy can find us. God, the devil's a liar. And God, but may we realize, Lord, that no matter where we're at in life, Lord, if we cry out to you, you can change us. We just thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Now in Exodus 32, I think that it is. Moses was up on the mountain talking to God. And the people said, I don't know what happened to him. Said, Joshua, he said, all right, well, I don't either. Let's give me all your earrings and all your jewelry. And Joshua melted them down, and he made this golden calf. And they're worshiping this golden calf because Moses ain't there. But God told Moses, he said, now you get off the mountain because your people have committed a great sin. Now God wasn't going to claim them. And Joshua said, them not my people, them's your people. Now you look at it. Anyway, Moses came back and he seen this calf and he was angry. And he said, bring this golden calf, and they melted it down. He said, now drink it. What I had him do. They drank this golden calf, and they was there, and Moses said, I'm going back up on the mountain. But he made this statement. He said, who is on the Lord's side? Can I ask the question this morning? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but can I ask this question? Who is on the Lord's side? Can you give me a wave? I say glory to God. And if you're not, before you leave, if you just come to him with all your baggage, all your guard, thank you, all everything that's wrong in you, you can be on his side. Moses, now, Think about it. He went up on the mountain. I won't preach long, but I'm going to preach for a little bit. He went up on the mountain, and he prayed this prayer, and it just blows me away. He said, Lord, forgive them. They have sinned a great sin. I want you to forgive them. He said, and if you don't forgive them, blot my name out of your book. Youch. But the Lord responded, whosoever sins against me, him will I blot out. Can I go ahead and preach this for a second? I don't care. Listen to me. I went through something here a while back. I mowed, I weed-eated, I didn't drink much water. Went to bed that night at 4 o'clock that morning. I thought, I'm tapping out. That room was going 100 miles an hour, and I couldn't stop it. Didn't matter if my eyes were shut, eyes was open. Miss was having trouble with her leg. She was in the recliner that night. And I hollered for her. I said, honey, I need you. I said, one bed, one leg in the bed, one on the floor. And I did. I thought I was stroking. I didn't have a clue. My wife, she's RN. You know, I'll tell her, I'll tell you if she was here. She don't show me much sympathy. Now, I was in a dire strait, Rod. I thought, that's it. Oh, I was doing it. God help me. I didn't know what else to do. She said, she came in there and she said, now, hon, now I know, now mind you, one leg on the bed, one on the floor, sprawled out like a seal out of water. And she said, now I know it's bad, but you got some inner ear. Now get back in bed. That's what she told me. But I got to thinking, we might have had an experience with God when we was 7, when we was 8, when we was 10. But I tell you, this is why I told you that, to tell you this. We need to take another drink. If it's been 10 years, 5 years, or 2 months, listen, and you haven't heard from God, we need another drink. Well, brother, I tell you, once you get saved, you're always saved. Well, I tell you, that's contrary to what the Word of God says. The Bible says this, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. That's in the book. I believe you got to get saved and stay saved. A lot of people don't like to hear what I need to do. Take another drink. Told you it's country, but that's as plain as I can get it. A lot of times we make a decision, but we're really not rooted and grounded in our decision making. 29 years ago, I told Miss, I do. 29 years later, even after she told me, you're not going to, she said, it's not fatal. Get in bed. Even after she told me that, I still do. We got to decide. Got to get it out of our head and get it down in our heart. We're just about there. We're just about, listen, I believe if we could see through spiritual eyes, it would probably, why can't we? Because I believe it would probably scare most of us clear out of our wits. But I believe if we could see it, I believe we can see the finish line's in sight. Now, I looked up decide. You might say, well, I know what that means. Well, I thought I did too, but I like this guy's definition better. Now watch. Make a choice from a number of alternatives. That's pretty good. Now the devil, he's got something. Christians, it really aggravates me when you see Christians kind of arguing on Facebook. I just want to come over. Now I know this ain't very spiritual, and poke you in the eyes. Now that's not probably the Christian thing to do, but the devil's got an alternative path. Jesus, is genuine. The Bible says two places in Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Now the devil's got something that looks real. And if we're not rooted and grounded and dug deep in the Word, we can walk down the wrong road and not even realize it. If God's got a genuine, the devil's got a counterfeit. But if the devil's got a counterfeit, rest assured, God's got a genuine. Some of us we're walking down the road. Some of us are blatantly walking down the road we know's wrong. The curbs are pride. We just go from side to side. I'm living life the way that I want. You can choose that. Choice is yours. But I guarantee you the end thereof is a lake of fire. And there's a way that looks right. And if we're not, listen to me, I encourage you, go home today, listen and make sure I'm preaching you the word. But there's a way that looks right, and if we don't know what thus saith the word of God, we can walk down that road and be deceived. The very first thing Jesus told the disciples, they said, tell us, when are you coming? He said, take heed, lest no man deceive you. I cannot tell you that you can live any way that you want and still make it. That's not it. But I can tell you this. If the blood's been applied, get on the highway of holiness and stay on there and you'll make it. But the devil's got a counterfeit. God gave us a free will. He said you can walk this way. Leads to life everlasting, or you can walk this way. It leads to damnation. Jesus talked about it and taught us in Matthew chapter 7, there's only two roads in which to travel. Now, people, we're on one or the other. There's a lot of good people that's done, good neighbors, good dads, good moms, good grandparents, whatever, that's walking down the wrong road. And it's up to you to decide. Does the devil have the flashing lights? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. The neon lights. And they'll catch your attention. You hear me? I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how long you've been preaching. They'll catch your attention from time to time if we're not rooted in the things of God. Well, I can do it without it. Let me help you. No, you can't. That person that you're setting aside, listen, whether you want to admit it, you need each other. I need you. You need me. The body of Christ, listen, whether it's Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, or what, we need each other. There's only one body. Well, you don't see it the way I see it. Well, okay, we can agree to maybe look at something, but there's some principles of the Bible that we have got to agree on. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He's the only sacrifice. He's the only answer to whatever's wrong in your life. We got to decide. Got to thinking, I'll try to hurry. The Bible says in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, there was a man by the name of Naaman. He was a good man, but he was a leper. He had it all figured out. Sometimes you think we got God all figured out. I probably still try to figure God out, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, I can't do it, and I don't think you can either. But we just let God be God. But here's, Naaman had it figured out. You know, if they call up when they'd taken a Syrian, a little girl, and they said, if Naaman had been here, he'd be healed of his leprosy. Like I said, Naaman done already had it figured out. And man of God going to come out and, raise his hands and call on God. And he's going to heal him on the spot. But that's not what happened. He sent a servant out and said, go tell him dip in Jordan 7 times. He got mad. Go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed of his leprosy. Hey, I think if I'd have had leprosy, I had to go dip in Jordan. I'd have went and dipped in Jordan He got mad. That's not how I figure it's going to happen. But he finally decided, after some prompting of his buddies, hey, just might as well go. What's it going to hurt? And he finally decided, I'm going to dip in Jordan. And when he went down there, what would have happened if he had just went down six times? He had still been a leper. But he decided, I'm going seven times. Listen and tell me, when he dipped seven times and come up, his skin was out of a baby, but he's been decided. Listen, all hell's come against you. I know 2020 was rough. I know it was. I had a bout with it myself. But God's still God. And I've decided a long time ago, I've drawn a line in the sand. Enough of the Christians. It's time that we raise our voice. It's time we stand our ground. It's time we decide, come hell or high water, I'm going to stay with God Himself. Hey, you guys went out for supper. But he decided. Let me tell you something. If it's in the book, oh boy, a lot more than I'm going to get to preach. But if it's in the book and you're a child of God, that promise is for you. Amen. Amen. There was a woman in Mark chapter 5 that had an issue with blood issue for 12 years. Bible says she spent everything she had and grew worse instead of better. But one day she heard about Jesus, and she decided when she left the house that morning, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and if I touch it, I know I'll be made whole. Listen to me, the world can tell you one thing, but I come to tell you the hem of the garment is still there, and you can still touch it. She fought her way through it. I believe she was throwing some elbows. She wasn't allowed to be there, and they was pushing her away, but she was determined. She had done the sight of, before she left the house, I'm going to touch him. Finally, she got close enough. She came in from the rear and touched just the hem of his garment. Bam! That stopped him. You hear me? You hear what I'm telling you? Get determined. I'm going to touch him. You touch him, Jesus will stop. He's going to, no matter what you're going through, listen to me, it might be drugs, it might be pornography, it might be alcohol, whatever the addiction, if we touch him, he'll set you free. Break every chain, break every yoke. Glory to God. He's worthy of our praise. I hear that. And there's a... Help me listen. There is a spirit of Antichrist that is roaming this world. And there is a religious spirit that has strangled, come has put his strangleclaws against the body of Christ itself. And I pray every religious spirit in the name of Jesus that it'll be broken, and you can decide in your heart today, whatever is wrong in your life, Jesus is the answer. I wouldn't trade. I ain't saying this arrogantly, but I wouldn't trade my spot with any of you guys. I did not go to school to preach. I just felt him tell me, I want you preaching. I have a testimony behind it, but I don't got time to give it. But I tell you this, whatever is wrong in your life, he is the answer. And I believe mercy and grace wants to find you today. Sometimes you got to fight through the crowd. Sometimes you got to get determined when you leave the house. Now you hear what I'm going to tell you. You're not going to get saved anytime you want to get saved. When you're saved, when you felt the leading of the Spirit of God and conviction begins to set in your heart, And God's knocking. He said, behold, I stand in the door and knock, and if any man will open up, he said, I'll come in and sup with you and him with me. People said, I want to live like the devil. Get saved right at the last minute. Won't work. Now, do you believe in deathbed repentance? Yeah, I really do. If God's just speaking to you and drawing you. But I'm telling you, it's not worth the gamble. I come to tell you, it's time to decide. Pick between the alternatives. In Luke 15, talk about a prodigal son. I'm going to fast forward. In Luke 15, talked about a prodigal son. When I was a kid growing up, I wanted to work where Dad worked, and I wanted to be as tall as my uncle. That was the two goals I had in my life. Now, you might say, well, you didn't set them very high. Nope. I didn't reach either one of them. My dad went on to be with the Lord a couple years ago. You guys know it. Oh, I told Miss yesterday, just like to sit down and talk to him. All in due time. Because at the same country church, I give my heart and life to Christ. I seen my dad come up, and I'm talking about a change in a man's life. And the Lord spoke. Can I tell you his testimony real quick? And I probably have. But some of you might not heard it. Dad said, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Now, he'd go to church with us. And I've seen people come back and shake his hand, and Dad would have to just give him one nod of the head. And not, you know, no. That you have that chance. You can do that today in just a little bit. Shake me off. It's up to you. But the Lord began to deal with Dad. And Dad put out a fleece, and I'm not telling you to do this. He said, God, if this is you, you had a preacher preach out Isaiah 35 tonight. Went back to church that night, and the preacher got up to preach. He said, you have your Bibles. Open them up. To Isaiah 35. Nobody had to go twist Dad's arm. Nobody had to beg him. But I seen it myself. He went to an altar and cried out to God. He decided then, I'm going to follow him. I could never feel Dad's shoes. I was maybe a little bigger than he was, but he was a bigger man than I was, if that you understand me. I couldn't feel his shoes, but I walked in the shoes of the prodigal son. They fit pretty comfortable. Wasn't too loose, wasn't too tight, just felt good. And I wore them, and I'm going to lay the venture. Some of you in here today has wore the same shoes. And maybe some of you in here today are still wearing them. That prodigal son, he told his dad, he said, Dad, I just want what's mine. Very disrespectful. He was saying, Dad, you're just not dying as fast as what I wanted you to die. That's what he was basically saying. It's sad. So his dad divided to him his living, and that boy hawked it, filled his pockets with money. Ended up in the pig house. Now, as a kid, I can relate to the pig house because we raised pigs. We had in the corner of our kitchen what we called the slop bucket. And if whatever you didn't eat, it might have been you had roast ears and you had some old corn on the cob, you just scraped everything in that slop bucket. And after a bit, when you went down the feed, the pig most of the time was laying in the trough. You got him out and you scooped out what was in there shouldn't have been. And you dumped that slop in there and he thought, man, I'm living the dream. He liked it. But it was in the hog house that prodigal son decided, hey, I'm not right. There was a dad back home that we kept a praying for him. God, you know exactly where he's at. And that day, the Bible says, and he came to himself. And he said, I've got to go back home. And he got up and he started. And when he was doing that last rise over the hill, he said he could look and see that little house down there in the corner. What he couldn't see was that little dad walking back and forth, but that dad spotted him and he said, there he is. I want you to hear me. I'm going to quit in a minute. Where's my piano player? The Lord knows exactly what you're going through. And I'm going to be blunt as I can be right here. And some of you is going through hell on earth. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm telling you, the devil has tried relentlessly time and time again to destroy you. Now, can I tell you something real quick? I feel impressed of God. I'm driving down the road, and there's a slow poke in front of me. And a big, long straight stretch. And I whipped over in this passing lane, and I heard the Spirit of God said, no. So I whipped back over here, and I thought, ain't nothing coming. I whipped back over there, and the second time, no. And I pulled back over there, and I thought, what's going on? And about that time, my right front tire went, boom! Just blowed to smithereens. I'm telling you this. You come to the Lord with all your problems. Did I have problems? Oh, yeah, I had to get off the road and change my tire, what was left of it. I'm not going to tell you. Easy sailing. God, the devil, once you decide, I'm going to follow Jesus, the devil puts crosshairs on you. But you get rooted and grounded in the things of God. It was when the boy could see home, and dad could see him. Then the boy finally, they finally seen dad, and they ran and they embraced. And his dad did not say, hey, you made a mess. Why? Why did you do that? You made a mess. He did not say a thing. He simply hugged him and kissed him. You hear me? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you're still walking the shoes of the prodigal son, but the Lord just wants to hug you. He wants to love on you. He wants to give you a kiss and say, I just wanted you to come back home. But today, it's time for you to decide. Deuteronomy 30:19, he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, therefore, choose life, that you and your seed might live forever. Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And I was going to go to 1 Kings 18, but you done got it. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. And if Baal be God, then follow him. I come, and I believe this, and I'm done right here. I believe I come to talk to somebody. Maybe more than one of you. But I believe I come because I felt impressed in my heart that this is it. I believe I come to speak to somebody. It's time to decide. Choose between the alternative. It's either heaven in the presence of God, or it's in the lake of fire in the regions of the damned. Jesus chose you. Now you've got to choose him. Very reverently, as we stand to our feet, as they sang a song of invitation, I'm going to open this altar. Listen, and if you have a need, if you might say, hey, I'm going to still walk in the shoes of the prodigal son, or I've never got saved, I'm going to give you that opportunity today. It's time you decide. Going to open this altar up. Lord's is speaking to you. Come on. This might be it.